Good morning, everybody. I would like for you to meet my little furry friend named Erie. I don't know if that's what you would call him. That's exactly what I would call him. He is indeed all ears, isn't he? That's who he is. I think that his nose ought to be a little bit bigger if he's going to have ears that are of this nature. But in all seriousness, we should recognize that Jesus wants us to be a whole lot like Erie. As you look at the two different phrases, the two phrases that are up there on the screen, the first one is pretty common from Jesus. If anyone has ears, let him hear. And then there is that phrase, take heed how you hear. Now, we find the first phrase kind of sprinkled all over the New Testament when Jesus is speaking to us. But where does the second phrase come from? The second phrase comes from Mark's account in the fourth chapter. You could see it there in verse 24. I have highlighted, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. It's there in verse 23. Then he said to them, take heed how you hear. And then he has there, and to you who hear, which would be the title of the lesson, more will be given. The Lord wants us to be hearing what he is teaching us. Now, when we think about the idea of having ears like Erie, he doesn't want us to stretch our ears out for all the latest gossip or the latest trends or social media or family drama or politics. That's not at all what Jesus is teaching us. He's talking about the glorious message that he is conveying into the crowds in the first century and as we're reading to us in the 21st century. So when you think about hearing the way Jesus wants to, are we hearing what he said there in verse 21 with those principles? He said to them, is a lamp bought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Now, there's a lot that's said there, and we're going to have to do a little research to figure out exactly what he's trying to communicate to us, but he wants us to be like Erie. He wants us to hear with great big ears, with a willingness to decipher, to understand, and to make application. Like in verse 25, for whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Again, we hear something like that. We have alarm bells going off if we have ears like Erie, trying to figure out exactly what that means. That doesn't make much common sense. That's not of the normal pattern of the way we think. So we have to not only hear, but try to understand the best that we possibly can what Jesus is communicating for us in Scriptures. And so the point I'm making from either the top of the sandwich or the bottom of the sandwich, of that which is snuggled in between, is we need to be like Erie. We need to hear with a desire to understand and to make application just as Jesus would have us to do within the New Testament Scriptures. Now, did you know there's three basic categories for those that have ears? And when we think about the three different categories in Scripture, the first are those who are hard of hearing. Now, the Son of God deals with that as we have studied throughout the Harmony of the Gospel study that Chris has been teaching us, whether it be Matthew, Mark, or Luke, as we look within the Scriptures. That question his disciples often ask him, like in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you do that? I mean, that's not usually the way that we would teach. If I was teaching a course, I wouldn't be teaching a course by just going off and trying to make things a bit obscure or just read stories to people of common sense and make them to apply different, more intellectual, developed principles. Why do you teach in parables? And Jesus said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. He wants to teach the principles about the kingdom of heaven. And as we have studied our scriptures, we know that the kingdom of heaven is that kingdom of God that he was bringing unto the world. It was his kingdom where he would be king. We recognize further as we look in scriptures, we know that it's in reference to the building of his church, his disciples, his citizens with a heavenly kingdom. And these things were mysterious. In the first century, they were mysterious to the Jews that were listening. Sadly, in our generation, they're still mysterious to so many, even those who would call themselves believers in Jesus. To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them. And he goes on to tell the disciples exactly why it's not been given to them. In verse 15 of this text, he says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." The Son of God does want to heal every individual, but so many about us and about them in the first century would basically close their hearts off to hearing this message. And when I say hear this message, hearing with a desire to understand, to make application, even obey. So many don't want to do that. And we think about people that are out there in the world. People that we've tried to talk to about the gospel of Christ, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, that will just immediately shut us off if we tell them something they don't want, they don't like, they don't appreciate, they shut us off. But it could be us. We could still be this way. We're sitting here this morning feeling that this really doesn't have any application to me. Well, it had application to some Christians in the first century. If you look with me in the Hebrew letter and in chapter 5, in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verses 9 through 11. Now, this letter, of course, was written to Christians in the first century, basically Christians that were living in the area of Judea. This is a general thought, but living in the area of Judea that were being persuaded heavily to go back to Judaism. And in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 9, in reference to the Son of God, he had learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you become dull of hearing. I don't think the principles about Melchizedek are really all that difficult for us to understand. I think there's some difficulty. I think it does take a little bit of understanding of various biblical principles to gather in the application that was going to be made about Melchizedek and his priesthood. But the writer here seems to appeal that this is rather difficult to explain because of you. Not because of the doctrine, but because you have become dull of hearing. Brothers and sisters, let's not be this way. I have preached with a variety of congregations in my 42 years of preaching the gospel, and practically everywhere I have been, I have found some Christians that when you talk about a particular Bible subject, it's like they just turn their hearing off. It's like, I don't know what Ken's talking about, and I don't even want to consider what Ken's talking about. Well, that's a dangerous place to be. We don't want to become dull of hearing of any biblical truth that our God has conveyed to us. So what's the problem with some? They become hard of hearing. What's the problem with others? They have itching ears. Now, as I just related a few moments ago, we think about people that are not amenable, they're not applying themselves to the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And I said, usually we think about people out of the world, but I just related to you that this can apply to members of the Lord's church. And this one obviously can apply to members of the Lord's church as well. We've just recently have studied the book of Timothy, and to finish up the grand letter that the Apostle Paul has written to this preacher, he had given him a charge in the last chapter, the fourth chapter, that he would preach the word, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, that the preacher be ready in season and out of season, that the preacher convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. And he gives him the reasoning why. Because the time will come, they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It's pretty obvious here that Paul's talking about members of the Lord's church that at one time had been in God's good graces, but because their ears are itching, And I can't think of a better image than this poor dog. You could imagine this dog sitting around scratching those great big ears, can't you? I mean, we've all watched dogs that have scratched their ears or their collars or wherever it is. They've got that itch going on. And imagine how eerie would have been scratching those great big ears. There are members of the Lord's church that want to do that. They were doing it in the first century. They want to do it in the 21st century. We can't allow that to happen. We can't have these itching ears. And yet, because there are itching ears, there are teachers that are brought in that will teach the smooth things, the comfortable things, or just refuse to preach on certain things. Whatever the case may be, in order to see to it that all the members of the church have nice, comfortable ears, and that they're not constantly tingling because of the message that is being preached. We can't do that. We have to open our hearts and receive the entire message of our Lord and Savior, whether we like that message or not. He talks about those who are dull of hearing. They're dull of hearing, and oftentimes encouraging them to get their ears scratched. That's what it's all about. Let's not be that way. We know a lot of people in the religious world are that way. Let's make sure it's not us. What do we need to be? We need to be those who are swift to hear. That's what James has commanded us. And James talks about our ears. James talks about our tongue. In James chapter 1 and in verse 19 is that great phrase that contains this sentiment. James chapter 1, verse 19. Beloved brethren, let every man, that means let every member of the church, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The word swift, I thought that's an interesting word. We don't use that word a lot. The word swift in the Greek is from the word takis. Now, when I heard that word, I thought another English word came to my mind. Tachometer. You've heard that, right? You have that on your dashboards, or you used to. These newfangled cars today, you just never know what's on people's dashboards. But on the dashboard, you used to have a tachometer. It basically told you how many revolutions that the engine was going, and it would rev up. You would have it in the thousands per minute, right? From basically when you're idling, it's about 1,000. But, you know, if you're doing that race car, it's 8,000 or so. Well, if you do that 8,000 in the car you have, you might blow your engine up. I don't recommend trying going that fast. But the faster you go, the more the revolutions are occurring, the swifter you're going. That's where the word tachometer has come from. That word that means that's quick or speedy. We need to be listening quickly. We need to be listening speedily when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is talking to us. That's what James is telling us. Let us be swift to hear. That's what he wants us to do. Now, again, it's not swift to hear gossip or social media or family drama or politics or whatever those things are that's out in the world. But when it comes to our Lord's message, we truly need to be swift to hear. Now, why should we be swift to hear? Well, let's make some analogy as we continue to go down through this text. For those who are swift to hear, remember what Mark chapter 4 said to us? More will be given. It's right there in that text. The Son of God said, for those of us that are opening up our ears, more will be given to you. Now, some are of the impression that the more that you hear, the more will be given, and they use that to teach a think and grow rich religiosity. The idea that you will grow rich because you're applying the principles of our God that you're hearing within Scripture. The denominationalists have been crying for that on television for generations. The more silver and gold that you will obtain. There is an element of truth that the more spiritual you are, the better type of employee you're going to be, the better employer you're going to be. If I was a businessman, I would want to hire a Christian. Reliable, dependable, won't steal from me, will do the best job. They will serve their God mightily as they serve me as a boss. And the natural results of that is, generally speaking, you're going to do better in business life. I don't deny any of those principles at all. But to simply say the more that you hear God's word, the more you're guaranteed silver and gold is a foolish and improper calculation. As you look, go back to Matthew chapter 13. Go back to Matthew chapter 13 for a few moments and look and remember why Jesus was speaking to them in parables and explained why he was, because the hearts of this people have grown dull. In verse 16, talking to the disciple, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they are hearing." That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to hear, because what's the result? If they hear, they can understand with their hearts, and I should heal them. It's a spiritual blessing that is coming our way. It is spiritual prosperity that comes our way when we hear. And the more that we hear, the more spiritual prosperity will be given to us. The more that we hear, the more likely we are to become a Christian. The more that we hear after we become a Christian, remember the Great Commission, that we observe all the commandments that he has given us, and the more we will spiritually prosper, the more we will spiritually develop, the more we will spiritually transform our lives, and the more blessings that are going to come as a result. The more involved in real life we have, and the more hope that we will enjoy. Oh, yes, the more will be given to us who will hear and allow our hearts to be transformed to where they're not dull, but they're sharp, they're alert, they're the way God wants us to be. They are indeed chasing after the very heart of our God. That's kind of the way David was in the Old Testament, a man after God's own heart. We need to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. So let's think about these passages. The swifter we are to hear his message, the more that shall be given unto us. The swifter we are to hear the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our faith will be strengthened. I know you're probably already thinking about that famous verse, right, in Romans chapter 10. You're saying, "No, Ken, what is that verse in Romans chapter 10 you're talking about?" Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we will give ourselves to hear swiftly the very message of our God, guess what happens? Faith increases. That's the point that the Apostle Paul is making in that text. And if you go back to that text in Romans chapter 10, you notice he talks about whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And a lot of times the religious world stops at that period in verse 13. But in verse 14, the Apostle Paul's continuing his thought, saying, "How then shall they call on him on whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on him on whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.'" This is why we need to assemble every time that we can. I don't know if I provide enough of this mechanism. I do try. But you need to hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ passionately and accurately presented. You need to hear it. You need to hear it not just through a Zoom call, not just through your computer, but you not only need to hear it, you need to see it, you need to feel it. Because a preacher that is passionate is trying to reach down into your soul and shake and encourage you spiritually. That is the way God designed gospel preaching to be. It's a very personal, it's a very literal, actual preposition that never should change. We need to hear that. There was a friend of mine that had become a Christian, and he would come around every now and then where I would be preaching or teaching and listen to me, and he told me, "Ken, I love to hear you preaching." And I say, "Why?" He said, "Because it feels like I kind of strap myself into an airplane seat, and I get on the runway, and suddenly they hit those jets, and boom, I take off, and my ears get pinned back to the back of my head." Now, if you've never been on an airplane, you don't know what that experience is. But if you've been on an airplane, you understand that experience. I'm not saying any of that for gloating, bragging, anything. Any man can preach like that, that has a passionate love for the Scriptures and is enthusiastic about what he believes and what he's saying. But that young man was telling me that that's the proper direction for me to continue, to try to persuade people passionately with the preaching and teaching, because that's what moves the souls of men and women. And that young man was telling me, Ken, I come here swift to hear. I can't wait to hear. I want to hear. It's one of the things I love about going to gospel meetings. I sometimes have to listen to myself. And, you know, I kind of get tired of talking to myself. I love to hear another man who preaches. And, you know, sometimes I'll go and it's like, man, I just feel like I've just been strapped in. And what'd you quit for? You've only been preaching for 45, 50 minutes. That's how I feel sometimes. I want him to keep on going. I just enjoy it so much because to me it's a little bit rare. I don't get to hear that very often, and I enjoy it so much. Of course, I've heard men that have preached 20 minutes and it felt like 45 or 50 minutes. I understand all of those things, but the gospel needs to be preached. That message needs to be passionately delivered, and the ears need to be swift to hear. That was God's mechanism to change our lives. I think about Cornelius there in Acts, the 10th chapter. In Acts, the 10th chapter, and in verse 33, remember, Peter comes in Acts chapter 10, and he bows before him, and Peter makes him get up. I'm just a fella. That's me. I'm just a fella. That's all I am. If anybody ever did that to me, nobody's ever done that to me. But if anybody's ever done that to me, I would make them get up just the same. I'm just a fella. I'm just the messenger. And so when Cornelius gets there in verse 33, he said, "So I have sent to you immediately. You've done well to come. Now, therefore, we, his family, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." We're here, we're seated, our ears are wide open. We are all eerie today. That's what Cornelius was saying. And that's the way we always need to be. When we sit before a man who would stand before us and present the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's all be eeries because our faith will be strengthened as one is passionately and accurately presenting the word of truth. Those who are swift to hear, we learn that what's that going to do? It's going to cause them to want to go out and bear fruit. The great parable. It's interesting we've been talking about parables this morning. Why do you speak to them in parables? As he had just conveyed to them the greatest of all the parables, the parable of the sower. Remember the parable of the sower? Where the sower went out and he scattered the precious seed? And he explains to us, he does explain to us what that parable means. He said the parable is this in verse 11. The seed is the word of God. Sower was preaching, teaching the word of God. We need to be like Erie when that is occurring. You notice there in verse 15 that those who that the word fell on the good ground are those having heard the word. They heard like Erie. They heard the word with a noble and a good heart. They keep it and they bear fruit with patience. It's exactly what they do. That they keep it and they bear spiritual fruits. That's good ground. Remember he talked about the heart? What is the problem with the people? Their hearts have grown dull. That's not a good heart. A good heart, their ears are wide open to this message. They keep that message and they bear fruit from that message. Now, let's go back to Cornelius and his family for just a moment in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, now you remember what's going on there in verse 47. When the Holy Spirit fell upon them, when Peter was preaching, and they began to speak in other tongues, and it dawned on Peter what his responsibility is now. He said in verse 47 before them, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. You know, I would love to know what's in between the lines there in verse 48. He commanded them to be baptized. Then they asked him to stay a few days. You left out a little bit, Luke. left out a lot. I think that we can safely assume that when he commanded them to be baptized, that they all got baptized. I think that's a safe assumption. I tell you what another assumption was. Remember that they were like strapped into an airplane. We're all ears. We're ready to hear what you teach. Then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we can safely assume that they were all baptized into Christ. In the next few days, I bet they pestered him terribly. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. What do I need to do here? Where do I need to go here? How do I need to involve myself here? What do I need to do to please Jesus? You could just imagine these people were absolutely filled with zeal as a result of not only being filled with the Holy Spirit, but being baptized, becoming Christians. I imagine Peter had a very busy few days with the house of Cornelius, don't you think? I would imagine that's exactly what happened. And I'm confident that that bore great fruits in Caesarea or wherever they would end up finding themselves to be. It's kind of like what we see in the initial obedience of the gospel in Acts 2. When they were cut to the heart because they listened intently to the preaching of Peter. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And Peter went on to talk to them and give them many more words. They gladly received his message. About 3,000 souls were added to them. And the very next verse says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I could imagine they were doing the same thing. Now, Peter, what did we do about this? How do we go about this? How are we supposed to worship? What are we supposed to do? I would imagine that that session after them being baptized was filled, hungering and thirsting for the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would imagine they had ears bigger than Erie from what Peter was teaching. One more point. Then we'll worship God properly. Oh yeah, what do we do? What do we do? How many times I've conversed with people about worship. I went and got my hair cut this past, 2 weeks ago. And the young lady that was cutting my hair, we began, she asked me what I was about to do. I like it that when I get to do that. I'm gonna do some sermon work this afternoon. Oh, are you a preacher? Oh, yes. And then it sparks an opportunity for me to talk. And so I began talking to her all the way through the haircut. I don't even remember the haircut hardly happening. But I was talking to her about the way that we worship. I was talking about we take the Lord's Supper every week. That when it comes to the New Testament, that we only will take money on the first day of the week and we don't tithe. And then we worship without musical instrumentation. And I think that girl's ears were growing as I was talking. And when we got done with the haircut, she goes, I learned a lot about Bible things today. And so I encouraged her to come worship with us, told her where we worship, gave her a card. She hadn't been here. That happens. You probably have had people like that, that you've talked about very plain Bible truths that they've never heard. And for the moment, they're excited. But remember the parable of the sower? Remember how that ended up in Luke chapter 8? This is a sad reality. It's happened to me so often. It's probably happened to you as well. In Luke chapter 8, he talks about the seeds, the word of God. Those by the wayside are ones when they hear, the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. I just wish the curiosity would have extended up. Would you please study some more with me? Would you please teach me some more? But the devil, he knows when we're beginning to pick the ground in the hearts of people. And he's not inactive, sad to say. But we have to try. We have to try to look for those that would be good ground. They want to hear it. They want to keep it. And they want to bear fruit with patience. And that would encourage them to come and worship the way Christians have been worshiping for 2,000 years and not the way these denominationalists are doing it in our generation. If anyone has ears, let him hear. You can imagine Jesus in the first century saying, take heed how you hear. It is important that we take heed how we hear. For those who are swift to hear, more will be given to you. Faith will be strengthened. We will bear fruit for Jesus. We will worship God properly. And just as I finished up last week talking in a lesson, for those of us who are Christians, we need to hear this. If we've gone back into sin, remember what John says? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise that God has made to us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus. But for those who have not yet been baptized into Christ Jesus, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But if you don't hear, you're surely not going to believe and you're surely not going to get baptized, and it will result in damnation. Jesus doesn't want that for you. He wants you to be all ears. He wants you to be eerie. If you are eerie this morning and you want to make your life right with God, take advantage of that. You can do that by coming forward as we stand and sing the song that Chris has suggested.